Welcome back to Dwaynesville. Great to have your company wherever you might be listening. We'll head back to your calls very shortly, but it's always a pleasure of mine to talk to one of the greats, Campbell Brown, who's about to be heard on SEN track as well. And if you love your racing, you probably have heard quite a bit of Brownie over the last 6 months. Great to have you on talking some footy, though, not just racing. Brownie, great to have you on the program again. Thanks for your time.
Thanks very much, Dwayne. And I lose track of what round it is, but I'm loving having footy on every single night.
So do you think we should do it every year? There's been a bit of talk about the fact that we should have this month of madness or footy frenzy every year, bang the season out to 25 or 26 games a year and have this month of the season in the middle of it where we do play every night. Have some sort of footy frenzy or festival of footy, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, well, it's great for the viewers. Just, you know, at home on the couch, I don't think it would probably work as well in terms of attendances once we can get people back to the footy. And obviously, it's really tough on the players. We're seeing a bit of a spike in soft tissue injuries, which we did expect. But, you know, it's a tough, brutal game. And having 3 and 4 day breaks is tough on the body for the players to back up. And they know that this year's a bit of an exception. So they can get the balance right. I'm loving, Wednesday, Thursday night football. And at the moment, it's played every night of the week. But maybe there is something there for the midweek, with the right sort of balance between rest.
Yeah, it's interesting. Obviously, I'm working for Fox, and I did last night's game. And, going into last night's game, we were aware of the fact that it was two Sydney-based teams and how many people in Melbourne are going to watch it. You know, it was important for us that the game was interesting enough, and it was important to us to broadcast it as an interesting game, make sure that we tried to present it as best as we could possibly present it. And I think that even though it had two Sydney-based teams in it, I think there was enough intrigue in it to show that even if your team's not playing, people will still watch a game involving other teams that they might not be emotionally involved in it all.
No, absolutely. I think there's enough football lovers out there that love the game no matter who's playing. And I was sitting at home absolutely fascinated because obviously the Giants were such favourites going into that game. I didn't think that Sydney had a chance, but from the minute they came out, they just played Bloods football. And that's a classic example of just a side that's totally committed and prepared to pay the price and disciplined and hard and ferocious against a side that has probably got more talent, but rocked up expecting just to get the 4 points and they just got completely ambushed and outplayed. And, it was a bit of a disgrace what the Giants dished up last night. But on the flip side, couldn't have been more impressed with the way that Sydney went about it.
I actually tipped Sydney in the Adelaide Advertiser in my tips because they picked a team for speed. I reckon the SCG stifles them. I reckon they've tried to play a more aggressive running style in the last few weeks, and I've always been worried about the Giants anyway. But I think, is the SCG, was the open space of Optus Stadium showing to us last night that the SCG is a bit of a problem for Sydney? They've kind of had a game plan evolved for the SCG as opposed to a game plan evolved for the beauty of the game and their own list.
Yeah, maybe, because it is a bit of a different ground, the SCG, and certainly for forwards, you lack a little bit of space out on the flanks and things like that. So you're right, there's some guys in that Sydney side now that do have a little bit of speed, Fox and Wicks and, Tommy Papley, Foote, some of these young guys, and they just seem to really enjoy getting up the ground, turning their opponent inside out and working back into that space. And that's where we saw a few of Sydney's goals. But it was their senior guys, Parker and Rampy and Lloyd, that just really set the tone last night. And when the Giants are playing well, geez, they're a good side. But when they get it wrong, they're atrocious. They haven't looked like kicking a goal last night. And they only got going for about a quarter and a half the week before to steal the game against Essendon. I remember earlier in the year when they lost to the Western Bulldogs and they kicked 3 or 4 goals. It's when it goes bad for them They just can't score at all.
So what do they do next?
It's a great question because they need to have a bit of a look at their forward structure. Their midfield has got the talent. We see that. Canilio and Kelly and all those guys through the middle of the ground. But, you know, I speak so glowingly about their forward line when it's up and running with a three-pronged attack. And I think I spoke earlier in the year about Himmelberg, Finlayson and Cameron and how well they work together. But for whatever reason, when the delivery isn't great or when a couple of them have bad nights, they've got no plan B. And so, yeah, Leon Cameron and the leaders just need to have a bit of a think about that. I mean, last night I thought was just purely based on effort. They didn't want to work as hard as the Sydney Swans. It didn't mean as much to the Giants players last night by looking at it at TV because one side was ferocious and unrelenting for four quarters. I mean, even with 45 seconds on the clock, they had players backing into packs. Nick Blakey was, you know, magnificent. O'Riordan, you know, was still killing the high ball. And Horst did a great job just really winding that side up for a big local derby. And the Giants obviously just rocked up thinking it was just another game of footy. And you simply can't do that at AFL level.
So their spot in the eight's vulnerable now. They could drop out of the eight at the end of this round or maybe next round. But they've got the West Coast Eagles next. So it doesn't get any easier for them. West Coast Eagles at Optus Stadium. So they lose that, they'll definitely be out of the eight. It's hard to know who's going to take their spot. So let's have a look at some of the other games. Metricon, North and Brisbane. Gabba, Melbourne and Collingwood. Optus, Fremantle, Carlton. There's some teams snapping at the heels. We'll start with tonight. They Port and Geelong at Metricon. Cats players have been back with their families. They're probably reinvigorated by that. How do you think this one's going to go at Metricon?
Yeah, can't wait for this this game. The Cats play pretty aggressive style of football and high scoring. And certainly Port Adelaide have been producing that for a while now. So really looking forward to this. Lockie Henderson on Charlie Dixon will be a fascinating matchup. You know, Lockie Henderson hasn't played a lot of footy and has almost just got back into that side a few weeks ago. He's arguably got one of the toughest tasks in the game at the moment. If Charlie Dixon could learn how to kick straight, he'd be leading the Coleman by 7 or 8 at the moment. He's still in the mix, sitting third, I think, behind Tom Hawkins and Kennedy. But, geez, he's missed a few easy opportunities. I think Port Adelaide will win the game, but... Yeah, Geelong, they're up and about. And what they did to the Saints last week was just magnificent.
So some of the other games, Metricon, North and Brisbane. You think Brisbane will just get the job done there and North season's over?
Yeah, you'd think so. They were so competitive early in the season, North Melbourne, but the wheels have just fallen off a little bit now. And the Brisbane Lions are pretty hungry. I love the way they responded last week. The Doggies jumped them a bit early, had all the disposals, kicked the first three goals of the game, but they just managed to work their way back by quarter time and then fixed a few things with their game plan and their clearance work and ran away for a pretty comfortable victory. So I can't see North Melbourne causing too much trouble against the Lions.
Melbourne give Collingwood some trouble?
Yeah, well, maybe. I keep waiting for Melbourne to produce against a good side. They've done what they've needed to do the last couple of weeks. You know, they knocked off the Adelaide Crows and they backed it up last week against North Melbourne. So they've taken on the two worst sides in the comp and beaten them. This is a bit of a challenge for them. So if they can put the Pies away, who are just battling a little bit themselves with some injuries, then they'll jump into the eight and give themselves a bit of a chance maybe of playing finals footy. Not sold on the D's yet, but if they can knock off a good side, and I rate Collingwood as a really good side, then who knows?
Fremantle and Carlton, the winner of this one's definitely back in the firing line to be a contender to make the eight.
Yeah, absolutely. Freo were terrific against the Hawks last week, and Well, I thought Carlton against the West Coast Eagles, up until probably about 5 minutes to go in the third quarter, they were still leading by 14 points. And all of a sudden, the Eagles just flexed their muscle and they just didn't have the capacity to stop the momentum. It was a little bit like the week before that against the Hawks. When sides get going on them, they manage to kick multiple goals. And for whatever reason, the Blues can't seem to stop that momentum and swing it back their way, but they're certainly showing some signs. So I think that the Blues haven't been too far away the last couple of weeks at a victory, and I think that they'll be able to beat the Fremantle Dockers.
Adelaide going to win a game, or will the Bulldogs knock them over at Metricon fairly easily?
I can't see them winning a game, Dwayne, to be honest with you. Had a great opportunity against the Pies last week, and just those two goals they conceded with 30 seconds left on the clock, just you could see almost break their spirit going into three-quarter time. Huge worries for the Adelaide Crows. And we always thought this year their depth would be tested a little bit because they got rid of, you know, Alice Yeoman and Greenwood and Keith and all these players. And at the moment, you know, they're blooding some young kids. Their senior guys aren't really making an impact at all. Duday's out for the rest of the year, so it continues to go from bad to worse for the Adelaide Crows. And if they do win one this year, I'll be surprised.
Saints and Essendon at the Gabba, that's an interesting game.
Yeah, it is, because the Saints will want to bounce back. They probably played their worst game of the year last week against the Cats, and feel a bit sorry for Essendon, to be honest. I never thought I'd say that, but the last couple of weeks, obviously the draw Wednesday night, and they were terrific the week before against the Giants, and they just can't seem to hold on to that lead in the dying stages of games. But they've been competitive, and that's all you ask. And hopefully they'll get some players back. But Zaharakis is now done for a few weeks, so that'll hurt them. But interesting game this one. I feel like the Saints will bounce back, but you're never sure what you're going to get with Essendon.
That's a good point. West Coast should beat Hawthorn. What do you think Hawthorn are going to do, and Clarko, and what's going to happen to the Hawks, Brownie? Your old team, where you want a flag?
Yeah, I think it is time to rebuild. They probably haven't thrown that word around at the Hawthorn Footy Club for the best part of 14 years. I reckon we were in a rebuilding phase in 2005 and 6 when I was there, and sort of it's been all systems a go ever since then. And Clarko's done such a terrific job at identifying talent and bringing it in for immediate results. But their list was always sort of looking old and coming to an end this year. I feel like they've underperformed a little bit. I thought that he might have been able to squeeze a little bit more out of the players that they had, but as what's been an unusual season this year, I don't reckon it's really worked for them with the stop-start nature and the hubs and all that sort of stuff. So there'll be some big calls to be made on some senior guys. Jeff Kennett's pretty straightforward when he comes up with an idea and he expressed that to the members that it's time to rebuild. I feel like that's the case, and we'll see some new kids, Finn McGuinness and a couple of them, get some games of footy that will be the new era of the Hawthorn Footy Club.
And hypothetically, do you reckon if Clarko coached the Giants, they'd be playing better footy?
Yeah, absolutely. Leon Cameron's done a great job, but I've got so much belief in Clarko and what he does to groups. He makes good players better. He's got an unbelievable system that he works with, depending on the cattle out there. One thing you can never accuse the Hawks of over the last 15 years is inconsistency through lack of effort. They've always, so they might lose games, but they've always brought intensity and effort, and that's probably something that the Giants haven't been able to do. You know, their good is great. They got to a grand final last year, but their bad is it's just horrendous. So I feel like Clarko plays a big role in that leading into each week. He knows the buttons to press, the game plan to play to bring the best out of the group from week to week. And I think any side with Clarko is a better side.
So is that just a one in a billion chance that that could actually happen, and are the Giants just too committed to Leon Cameron to even investigate that, or am I just talking ridiculous hypotheticals there?
No, I think Leon Cameron is safe as houses up at the Giants, for the foreseeable future. But there's no doubt that there'd be some clubs out there that should be sniffing around Clarko. He's got 1 year to go on his contract, and they'd be incompetent in their investigations to improve their football club if they didn't at least source him out and see what he had to offer. I think multiple clubs out there, but I don't think the Giants would be a good fit for Clarko.
And the Gabba, Gold Coast and Richmond, it's a pretty good game as well.
Yeah, it is. Richmond, they're as professional as they get, so you'd expect them to win, but just loving watching the young Suns, and they've been challenged a lot this year and managed to fight out games, and they could have almost stole it on the weekend. So they're doing really, really well. They've exceeded my expectations this year. I think Skewy Jew's doing a great job, and that youth of Lukosius and Rankin, King, they're pretty infectious. They're an exciting football club to watch. So I don't think they can beat the Tigers, but you'd expect them to put up one hell of a fight.
And have you been backing a winner, Brownie?
Yeah, we've been trying to. We found a couple on Tuesday when I was in there, and there was that big go for Barocca yesterday at Sale Race Number 2, which was the talk of the town, which won by about 7 lengths. So finding a few winners, and hopefully we can continue the trend this afternoon at Geelong.
So tell us what happened with Barocca yesterday.
Well, there was a first starter for Clayton Douglas, who's a jockey out at the moment, injured, and it was his first ever winner. Jamie Carr, his fiancée, was riding the horse. It was a four-year-old, and a text message went round saying that this horse was a superstar and had done this and had done that in a trial, and it'll come out and absolutely brain them. And all of a sudden, it got the racing world talking a little bit. And then it came out a few hours later that that could be a bit of a fake text, a fraudulent text. So
yep.
There was a little bit of, is it real, is it not real? And we waited and held our breath. Some of the punters took the $2.20 on offer. It jumped at about $1.70. So it certainly had a lot of support. And we weren't sure what we were going to get. And come out and won by 7 lengths. And Jamie Carr eased it down on the line. It could have won by 10 lengths. So it lived up to the hype. And what was a Thursday meeting at Sale, which wouldn't usually have attracted much attention, certainly got the racing world talking. So it was fascinating.
Great to have you on, Brownie. I better let you get back to the races. We'll talk again soon.
See you, Dwayne.
Campbell Brown, Hawthorn Premiership star, Gold Coast star, and star of SEN. We'll take a little break. Blayson, what's open after the break? Are you delivering? Who's delivering? What's open? Give us a buzz. Let the world know you're operational, and we'll take a few of your texts as well. 0433 98 11 16 or 1300 736 736 if you want to jump on the line and let the world know your business is still going and you want to be delivering to a few households whilst you can during this period. Your call's next.